I would like to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today, the Arakwell people of the Bundjalung Nation, and pay my respects to the elders past, present, and emerging. Are you ready to win at the game of life? Well, throw out that rule book and get down to the business of being the best and most authentic version of you. Welcome to the Human Design Podcast. We're changing the rules around success, abundance, purpose, love, and life, where we're creating a planet where everyone can thrive in a world that loves and supports each other. I'm your host, Emma Dunwoody, a qualified master coach, human design expert, podcaster, and entrepreneur that is living the life of my dreams, breaking all the rules while doing it, making a huge impact, and living my design and manifesting miracles on the daily. Join me as I break down and simplify everything you need to live in alignment with your human design, teach you how to recondition your unconscious mind for greatness, and to take back your power so you can manifest your heaven on earth and serve the rest of the planet at the same time. It's time to give up the fear and step into your highest potential, to reach for the stars, to know and live your greatness. It's what you deserve, and it's what the planet really needs from you. So buckle up and enjoy the ride.
This is your monthly reminder to go to the show notes and check out the Body Graph Chart software. I know you've heard us talk about this before, so I'll keep this very short and very sweet. But if you want to know the tool that we've used to bring in over 20,000 new leads and five figures in passive revenue into our business, then go check it out. It's amazing. Stop sending people away to other people's websites to get their human design chart. Instead, use this tool to put it on your own website. You won't regret it. And use the code Human Design Podcast, all lowercase, all together, Human Design Podcast, to get 50% off for a year.
Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. I am super excited to have today's guest, Julie Riesler. And so before I get, I'm super excited because before I even hit record, you were talking about like the actual method of coaching, which just was like, oh my God, we need to talk about that because every second person's calling themselves a coach and they're like, they don't have any models. They don't know what they're doing. So I'm a little bit overexcited about getting into the conversation. But before we do, first and foremost, welcome, Julie. And before we get into all of the really juicy bits, can you please tell my audience a little bit about the journey to get to where you are today and who you are today? I always reference from my own personal journey, and like me, you're a 3-5. For those out there listening, Julie's a 3-5 sacral MG, cross of the sleeping phoenix. And I have this really big belief that we have that catalytic moment, you know, and in that catalytic moment where we're perhaps in the dark night of the soul or we're being faced with a specific challenge, for some reason, we choose not to be the victim this time, and instead we begin to wake up, we begin to believe in ourselves, we begin to heal, and ultimately that's the catalyst for us to really step into our purpose and, you know, then in turn give back to the planet, which is obviously what you're doing right now. So can you tell us a little bit about your journey?
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. I was like, how does she know my story? Like, that's exactly kind of what happened, which, not surprise, A, the 3-5 MG, and then what you just said, I think there's something really to that. For me, I'll put it this way. I think like many of us, and probably many those listening who are women, who just, I grew up with, I'm trying to shorten this, but I think I struggled a lot with both people-pleasing and just feeling like not good enough, not enough, whatever it was, you know, smart, thin, pretty, all those things that have nothing to do with who we really are. Obviously, that's more of the egoic structure. But I got married really young to a good person, really good person. And I would say that I started doing a lot of inner work because it really, for me, what came to a head was I struggled with food and with sugar, kind of in an addictive mode. I started getting my butt into recovery, 12-step recovery. This is about 25 years ago. And I was like the closet eater, you know, like hands in a huge bag of M&Ms, and I couldn't stop. And then would try not to eat. It was just crazy making. And I was like obsessed with all of these thoughts around food, what I could eat, not eat. You know, I would go to my in-laws and like take a whole bag of frozen chocolate chip cookies in the bathroom. I actually did a TEDx talk about this. It was so embarrassing, but I was like, I need to say this. And just use food to comfort, to deal with emotions. I am highly sensitive, empathic, probably like I would imagine anyone listening right now, because like attracts like. And I just didn't have the tools to handle those kinds of emotions. And the long short of it is I was doing a lot of inner work through this program, recovery, 12 steps and therapy. And I had a literal dark night of the soul. I had two kids under the age of two. My son, I think, was 6 months at the time. Horrible timing, like horrible timing. I was exhausted. I woke up in the middle of the night and my heart was racing. I thought I was dying of a heart attack. I'd never experienced that before. Now knowing it's a panic attack, I did not know. And the only way I can explain it is I heard my soul. It was a full moon and it felt like the moon was speaking to me. I heard my own inner voice say, "You are not okay here. You're not." And that freaked me out. And I sat with it. I remember, you know, it was also 3:33 in the morning, which is interesting. Long story short, you know, of course. I was like, oh gosh. So I did a lot of looking at what is going on in this, my marriage with myself. And I just realized like it wasn't working for me. And it was really hard decision, especially when it wasn't abusive. It wasn't anything like that. I just did not feel it was the right fit for me, especially anymore. I had changed a lot and I worked with a coach in a really fantastic transformational leadership program, personal development program. And this coach, all I can say is like miracle, the definition of miracle is often a shift in perspective. I had like in a second, this change that like has changed me forever. It's 15 years ago. And I realized, okay, I can actually have an amazing life. Either way, ending a marriage, young kids, that was like very taboo, especially, you know, in some of the circles we were in, his family. And I get it. But I just knew it was the right choice for me. And that experience with that coach was so powerful that I thought, holy crap, I've got to learn how to do this. Like, this is life-changing, like in every cell of my being. And so that was like, yeah, that was almost 14, 15 years ago. And I can share more, but you know, for me, it was a massive dark night of the soul. And then what followed that was pretty intense. You know, I ended up going back getting my degree, master's degree in coaching. I got divorced, had a major health crisis about 5-6 months later, and then decided to leave my job like a year or so into, right as I got divorced. So It was some crazy crap going on. However, all of that led to the passion, the wisdom. I would say wisdom is an ongoing basis, but the like desire to help and serve and help people in this way.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I resonate with so much of your story. And it's fascinating, isn't it? How, you know, whether it's a coach or it's a book or it's this moment where we have that miracle, that perspective change, and we cannot see our lives or ourselves the same anymore. And it's like, wow, it's really terrifying down that road over there, but I have to go. Like, I have no choice. I have to go down that road. Yeah. I really resonate with that. So one of the things for me that I think is fascinating is that you actually, did you say 14 years ago, is that when you started studying?
Yeah. So I've been doing a lot of inner work, I'd say almost 25 years, but it was about 14 years ago. I got invited to coach in this program that I did. I coached it four times. I was the head coach for three of the times. And then I was like, but I want to go deeper because I really want a framework how to do this. I didn't know I was going to start my own business. I just thought I'm obsessed with this work. Like, I was a psychology major, didn't want to be a therapist, although they're great. I was like, no, that doesn't fit. And it was just, who knew in my backyard was this amazing integrative brick and mortar university that was the first acupuncture school in the East Coast in the States, and had herbal medicine and acupuncture and functional nutrition and all of these beautiful, amazing programs, master's degree, doctorates. And then they had this health and wellness coaching that incorporated mm-hmm. mindfulness and energy and Dr. Bruce Lipton's work. And I mean, it just, and I literally, I had no idea. And then a friend mentioned it and I looked and it happened to be the night I could go. One of the nights that like, I didn't have my kids. I wasn't, and I thought, and I just went and my whole body was like, you have got to do this. And that was, about 14 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. And 14 years ago, like I think back to, it's 10 years ago that I started studying to become a master coach as well. And although it felt like it was popular, it really wasn't. Like wasn't like it is now, right? So tell me a bit about like one of the things for me with coaching is like I genuinely believe that especially once we get to like the age of 40, 45, we've got so much life experience and of course we can help people with that. However, I think one of the things that's going on with the coaching industry these days is that people aren't actually learning fundamentally what's going on underneath what their clients present, you know? So they're kind of like giving them experience and they're giving them knowledge and they're holding space for them and they're doing a lot of great things. However, they're a little bit blind, you know, these days, especially when we talk about trauma, there's this term, you know, trauma informed, meaning that I actually get what's underneath, what's going on type of thing. So when you first started studying, tell me a little bit about like, how did you learn to coach? Like, what were they actually teaching you that was perhaps different to, I think it's fascinating that you didn't want to do psychology or therapy because I was the same, even though I was obsessed with it. Like I really always wanted to know like what made me do what I do and how can I change that? It just never fit with me. And I'm always super curious. Like obviously a lot of us are just like, well, I just knew in my gut that that wasn't the thing. But I just love to hear you talk a bit about choosing coaching over those things. And then what specifically you learned that maybe people don't understand about coaching, that these underlying models or understanding their behavior or all the things, how important they can really be.
Yeah, that's a great, great question, Emma. And I think, you know, for me, one of the gifts of that very challenging, really, I mean, dark night, like of the ultimate was I learned to really trust my intuition, my inner guidance. It's something I actually, in my own certification program, I weave that in a lot. I think that it's a superpower we all have that we are often not taught to trust or use. And so for me, this was very like, I just knew in my bones that I needed to do this work. And it was not what it is today. I remember when I was going back to school and friends were supportive. People at work were supportive, but they were like, coaching? Like, are you coaching like soccer? Like, what are you coaching? I'm like, no, people in their lives, like actually, you know, like you have a dream or desire you want to accomplish, like we work together to do that. But there's a lot to it. It's not just, I mean, if that was so that easy, we wouldn't need people to be able to do it and have the other skills that are part of coaching, you know, successfully, masterfully. So when I found this program, I was so interested. I was always interested. You know, the program they had was in health and well-being, which was a gift because it incorporated, we did mind-body science. We looked at, I did about 7 integrative nutrition classes, even though I don't focus on that. We did a lot around what's between your ears with your mindset, with neuroplasticity, with epigenetics. Like it was such a gift, this course. I mean, it was a 2-year master's degree. And I would say, so for me, I was steeped. Also, the whole program came from a positive psychology foundation. So a lot of what we studied was, if anyone's heard of appreciative inquiry, Dr. Cooper Reiter's work around, you know, even the way that you ask questions. Our brain is a serial processor. It's going to look for an answer. If you learn how to ask questions that look for the appreciative aspects, it doesn't mean you bypass feelings or trauma. However, it's a really powerful tool. And so the whole program was steeped in that. I was really lucky. I actually got to meet him and then do another training, like a year or two or three years actually after that, which was so cool. How to use that with groups. But anyhow, yeah, the foundations of coaching, the thing I think to get, people don't always understand, you know, it's not consulting. You're actually, as you know, it's not about giving advice. It's not about having it all figured out. In fact, it's a great thing. You don't have to Is that about performing, about telling your client what to do? That would be consulting. And it's not counseling. You do touch upon the past, but we don't hang there. We don't dive into your, you know, your past, the challenge, the struggle, the trauma. We don't dive into it from a perspective of how do we, you know, how do we make meaning of it? Now we might dive into it and just look and see, okay, what has that informed? How has that informed who you are today? What have you learned? What are the gifts? What do you want to take forward? But it's very focused on present and designing your future. So, you know, there's some very important skills and competencies with coaching that are more than just holding the space, you know, reflection, reflective listening, powerful questions. There's also like making sure you're really listening at a level that I would call it like the ocean floor level. Like you're at the bottom of the ocean floor. You are hearing what's being said and you're using your intuition and learning how to do that, but you're asking questions and you're looking under the rock and you're going way deeper than most people. I think most people are starving for someone who listens to them, like really listens.
Exactly. It's the really listens part, I think, is the absolute game changer. And I know in my experience back in the day when I was studying, you know, we were taught really early on, and it's easier said than done. However, it's a practice that I would highly recommend to all coaches is this whole, like, you have to be, if you're a really good coach, then you leave your ego at the door. You leave your perception of reality at the door and you become this hugely curious human that there is no right or wrong. There is no judgment. There is no criticism. It's just pure curiosity. And I think that that's one of the most important things with coaching is that we're curious. We're not judgmental. We're curious.
Yeah. What you just said, and the thing that is so powerful about that is, first of all, to have somebody there that's never judging you, that's curious, which curious by default, it's void of judgment. It's void of any kind of guilt or shame in there. There's none of that. It's just, wow, let's look at that. The thing that I love about this work is, of course, as you do that with others in a deeply curious way, as you said, there is I think an effect where it wears off on us as a coach is not that that's the reason. I also believe that the amount of inner work that you do working with a coach, doing your own inner work, the amount of depth you're able to go with yourself, you're able to go with your clients. So
100%.
It's reflective. I mean, I have seen this. I've just seen this personally, and I've seen it with others that I've trained and, you know, if you, and it's one of the things that comes up often is like, I don't have my whole life together. And it's like, you don't have to have your whole life together.
There's no such thing as having your whole life together.
Yeah. Who is that? Tell me, I'd like to know and talk to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Who is that person? And I'd run the other way.
Really? Exactly. Yeah. Really? I don't think they do. I don't think all together is a thing.
There's no such thing. You know, but doing these practices, the mindfulness practices, the grounding, the inner work yourself is going to help you be a more powerful coach. And to me, that's a win-win-win. Like, you know, you're choosing a career or a path that is going to have you help others without judgment. And then when you learn to do that with yourself, that's a healing path. That's why I think of coaching when you're really trained and you know what you're doing, it's completely a healing path.
I could not agree more. Like, I thought, especially early on in my journey, that it would freak me out because I would be sitting there with a new client and they would be telling me their, you know, like their origin story. And I'd be like, this is a joke, right? Because you're literally telling me my story, you know? Or they would present with problems or challenges that I was experiencing 2 weeks before I coached them. And, you know, something I noticed really quickly was that everything that I avoided in me, clients presented, and I would be like, damn it, you know, like, and I would go and do the work. And especially as a 3-5, I would go and do the work, learn the lesson, and then share the experience with them. But I think that that's the other thing that's really humbling. Like, really good coaches, as you say, they do the work on themselves because they know they're going to get presented with every part of their shadow, everything they're avoiding, anything they're resisting. Yeah. It's going to be sitting opposite them in a session.
Absolutely. I've the same. When I started, this is like years ago, similar to you. I had so many women going through divorce or with body image or eating issues. And I'm like, oh, wow, I am learning. And what did it help me do? I'm learning. And I know in coaching, I felt very confident in that space of complete curiosity, no judgment. That comes naturally. And for some, it's a practice, right? But to learn how to hold that space of just complete curiosity, what I saw was as I was doing that for clients, people I was working with, it just seeped in and it started to become my inner voice. Now, I still did the work. I've worked with many, many coaches and I've done other kinds of internal work. Yet it helped me to get more curious, kind, clear, without the shame and judgment with myself. And that is like a beautiful byproduct that when you're present, you're awake, you're aware, you're looking at, you know, to work on yourself. It like seeps in the best way.
Yeah, I so agree. And it's that thing, isn't it? Like when we're coaching others, and I suppose it's not even about coaching others, it's about ourselves. Like we have this preconceived idea as human beings, because we're conditioned to think this way, that we shouldn't look. It's scary to look in the dark corners, you know, like, oh, I don't want to, you know, it's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be this, it's going to be that. And in my experience, it's the polar opposite. It's the fear of looking at the thing that is so much worse than looking at the thing. And I think that, you know, and I often in my work, I call it the elephant in the room, you know, especially my mastermind, we talk about this where, you know, like they're potentially most of the time we're talking about business and aligning them to purpose and da, 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 da. And, you know, I will get that, but I'm doing everything and I'm still not getting the results. I'll be like, right, we need to talk about your elephant. And then it'll look at me like, what are you talking about? And it's the thing that is going on in your life that you're like, well, I can't fix or solve that, or I don't want to look at it. So I'm just going to, you know, have all this success in the business and that's going to fix it. And it just doesn't work that way. You know, the way we do one thing is the way we do everything. We can't separate parts of ourselves. Even though we talk about decompartmentalizing, we actually can't energetically decompartmentalize. We can with our mind shut shit off and we can jam down our emotions.
Yeah.
And you know, we can actually put healthy boundaries around those things sometimes, because, you know, we've got to use vulnerability or got to be in our vulnerability in a resourceful way, not an unresourceful way. However, it's, you know, we must really understand that, you know, as within, so without. So if we're avoiding something, it's going to have an effect in all areas of our life.
100%. I'm laughing because I have a pillow next to me and my little like meditation couch that's of an elephant in the room to remind myself, don't forget the elephant in the room. Don't ever, like, you know, I just laugh. I love elephants, but I love what you're saying. And it's just, you know, the other way I look at it, this is just where I'm coming from, is, you know, we're made of energy. We're spiritual beings in a human existence. And what you are, you know, everything is reflective in a mirror. So if there's something you're not looking at, just wait, it'll come in front. Especially if you choose to do the entrepreneurial route, you coaching included, like you said, I have seen this so many times, like, oh my gosh, look at what they're dealing with is complete. I get it. I dealt with that before too. So it's always a good idea to work on, to just be brave. It does take courage. I get it. It's just, there's nothing like, you know, moving through something and realizing, oh my gosh, I have the strength and actually now I have wisdom I didn't have before. And you know, so I think doing that inner work, it's crucial. I know for the students, whenever I have my cohort with my students, that's equally as important as learning how to be a coach. We do a lot of time and focus on inner work, inner transformation, looking under the rock, like talking about the elephant, as you said.
I love that. So for coaches, because I'm guessing, I know there's a lot of coaches that listen to this podcast. What do you think the top three traits are? What do we need to practice and evolve within ourselves or our skills? What are the top three things you think we need as coaches?
Yeah, I think number one is a just genuine heart centered passion, desire to help others, to see this world wake up, higher consciousness, to help people really have a life they love, like a general passion for that, where you believe in humanity, you believe that there's something better, you believe in the power of our free will and dreams and desires, and that we don't have to be stuck. So I think having that passion and belief is important. I think number two is, you know, an open mind, being open-minded and curious in nature. Like, the more, I know for me, I've always been, my dad used to call me Curious George from the book, like curious, questioning. You're the type that like question things, curious. You're eager to like learn more, go deeper, understand. That would be number two. And I think three is, if you're not already an excellent listener, you are willing to learn to be an excellent listener. There's other skills as well. I would say being able to not be judgmental and hold an open space and really to be with somebody in a challenging time and not take it on. But I do think, and if you're not the best listener, I've had people that have learned how to listen, but you got to be willing and open to it, because it is a skill. There is actually a skill to it. And there's different levels of listening. There's others, but I think those three are kind of the basic blocks.
Yeah, I love that. And I totally agree on the listening piece. You know, I think we spent like an entire quarter of our program, like, well, not quarter of the program, like quarter of one of the years on listening. You know, it's such like, I'm gratefully a natural born listener, you know, especially as a very shy, highly sensitive child. That's what I was constantly listening. But it was fascinating just watching people who were so, you know, they just wanted to talk over everybody. They just, you know, wanted to take charge through their language, da, 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 and just watch them evolve into these much better coaches, because they could just hold space and they realized that it wasn't actually about them. Because in many cases, we don't listen because we don't realize this is not about you. You know, like this client sitting in front of you is not about you. It's about them, and it's about how you can serve them. The other thing I want to respond to is, you know, the first one you said is like really actually believing that we can create our what I would call heaven on earth, or dreams come true, or we can achieve great things. Because one of my like irritations is working with any coaches that are really pessimistic. And I'm like, and they call it like, I need to be realistic. Like, that's not realistic. That's the reality that you're creating. Yeah. You know, and I think that that's such an important point, because I often think of coaching versus therapy and psychology. Therapy and psychology, it looks back, you know, they look backwards. But coaching, we look forwards. And we do cross over a lot of the things that therapy and psychology deal with as well, but only as they come up as speed humps, you know, to these goals in the future. But we actually have to fundamentally believe that not only we can, because if we don't believe that we can achieve the goals that we create, then we don't believe our clients can. So we can't be the best coach possible. So I think that's such an important point, that to be a great coach, you actually need to believe in the future, you know, the possibility of the future.
Oh, I 100%. And I think, you know, there's a fine line with looking at what's so and being real with what the stories are, what you're telling yourself, what the beliefs are, the negative, you know, inner critic, whatever you want to call it. There's a good place to be real. However, exactly, like in terms of someone's vision, their desire, their dream, I mean, I've never done with the seeking, searching, learning as a human being, spiritual being. Everything I've read in every different kind of text, like this is an infinite universe. The divine there's way more than we even understand in our potentiality. That's the piece that gets me excited, because I'm like, we are all walking around as these acorns. Like, you don't want to be a small oak tree. I don't think. I mean, I don't. Like,
no, I don't.
You want to. Yeah. Don't you want to be your fullest expression of that tree? I mean, I think I keep an acorn on my little altar because I love to look at it and be like, oh my God, we are all that, you know, this potential. So that's the place where you don't want to stifle that. I think looking at, okay, what's getting in your way, self-doubt. And this is where I actually think intuition, it's why I do a lot. I teach it. I actually teach different ways to trust, to feel, to know your intuition, because a lot of people don't know how to identify it, how to tap into it. I think intuition, I know intuition, learning to use it as a coach is powerful. And then having your clients learn how to use it, because it's very self-empowering. It's an empowering modality. Each person has, we all have that, it's our birthright. We all have that in us. Once you learn how to tap into your intuition, you know, that really takes care of a lot of self-doubt that can help with clarity. It's not always easy to follow. I was not thrilled to get a panic attack saying, Julie, you're not okay here. However, my intuition was spot on and always has been with helping me, you know, to do something that was good for me. So anyhow.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, I mean, that's why I love human design, because it's the, like, for me, it's the fast track to self-trust, you know, because from the moment you start diving into your design, you're like, oh, wow, like I'm getting this permission slip just to be myself. And ultimately, that's what, in my opinion, that's what we're all here to do now in this time of craziness, of chaos, that the more we can love, trust, and accept ourselves, the more empowered we are, the more we stop listening to the bullshit stories that we've been fed. You know, when you actually open up to possibility, to things that you actually believe cannot happen, that are impossible, when you open up to the fact that actually maybe these things are possible, you would be blown away. And in my experience, I really believe you'd be just amazed at the things that I believe are possible. And even more than that, the evidence I have now found that these things are possible, you know, and it's not even that, you know, it's like free energy. Free energy exists and it's been invented. It's been created. Obviously we know Tesla did it, but since then it's been done over and over and over and over and over again. So we're living in a time that, you know, the people that have been suppressing it they can't physically keep it suppressed forever. Like, we're going to have free energy in a not too distant future. Now, there's so many people probably even listening to this podcast going, oh, bullshit, Emma, you're just full of shit. But I've seen the evidence. I've seen the papers. I've, you know, read the research. I've done it. And it's because I have this belief that I don't believe anything is impossible. You know, I believe that, like you said, we have such great power that lies within us. And there's all these things that are already happening. But if we don't have that capacity to believe, then we're only ever going to get the evidence of the smaller reality that most of the global population are living.
Exactly. We're always going to see what we believe is true and what we focus on. It's that, and I love what you're saying. That is one of the things I personally love most, is dismantling beliefs that are just bullshit, that are not true, and then finding new evidence. That's part of just one little piece of coaching. It's so beautiful, because, and I'm honestly constantly doing it myself. I mean, there's a programming in the world, and depending where you live in society, that we're it's like a fish in water, doesn't know that it's in water. There's thoughts and programs and things that we're taught that I am learning and discovering, oh my God, that's not true. That doesn't have to be true. It could be this way. And that's it. And so having someone who can hold that is just, it's life changing. That's what I had for me. That's what, you know, it changed my life. But I love what you're saying with the anything is possible. I think it's just, that to me that's where I see this work as being like truly miraculous work. Yeah. Like, when you know what you're doing, obviously, like, as you're saying with your training too. And I actually was thinking, like, I love human design and then pairing it. I've had a lot of people that have come through that are love human design or Reiki or other aspects, but human design, I have to say, and when we talked about it, it's been such a gift for me to know, oh, my sacral, no wonder I always got this sense. And I would sometimes be like, it kind of, I don't want to say freaked me out, but I didn't realize that's my powerhouse, is my sacral, and it's going to tell me immediately yes or no, or wait. And it's spot the F on. Yeah. And that's something you can see in my chart, you know, and remember when we went through it. It's just, so I think it pairs beautifully. I really do.
I so agree. And I think, again, that this is another reason why I love human design, is because it's teaching us to trust our own decisions. It's teaching us to trust our intuition. It's teaching us to trust our true authority, you know. Now, I want to sort of pivot a little bit, because I talk a lot about purpose and I talk a lot about abundance, and I feel like there's a real partnership that goes on between the two of them. And of the abundance piece, like specifically money, prosperity as well. And the reason why we talk a lot about this is because in my experience as a line three, I discovered that I was always obsessed with my purpose, right? Always obsessed. But for so much of my adult life, we were living paycheck to paycheck. And I didn't have the money. I didn't have the funds. And there were all these people telling me to spend all this money, you know, like you have to take a risk on yourself and blah, 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 all of the things, right? And it never really boded with me well. So one, and what happened is that that kind of prevented me from trusting my purpose, surrendering to my purpose, to doing the work. It was this, I felt like it was real push me, pull you almost, like, do I focus on money? Do I focus on purpose? Do I focus on money? And what I've discovered over the years is it's actually like a, you know, like a step up, and they work beautifully together. Like when you step into your purpose, you know, you also step into abundance. And when you focus on your abundance, then all of a sudden you can surrender more to your purpose. And it's just this little staircase that I believe in my experience that we go up. Now, with coaching specifically, there are thousands, dare I say hundreds of thousands of people on the planet that are studying to become coaches, but there are not hundreds of thousands of people that are making good money as coaches. So what would your advice be when it comes to making money as a coach?
I think it's a great question. I get this every time I have a cohort and we get to the end and it's like, how do we do this? I can share my experience because I had almost zero marketing or business or any experience. I went through my coaching training, my master's degree, and honestly was like, I'm obsessed. I had practicum clients that wanted to stay working with me. I remember what I charged them that then is not what I charge now. I had no clue. I was basically like, let's just do it almost for free. But it did build that not just confidence, but it, in me that like, oh, this really works. I could then see, oh my gosh, people are getting results. And let me say this carefully, not because of me and my ego, because I stepped myself out of the way and you show up in service. And I think that being in service, when we are coming from, I want to be of service. I want to help people. I want to, you know, be of use in this universe. I think that energy is a magnetic energy. I do. I think it's a magnetic energy that when it's coming from that place, what I've seen is it's drawn in clients, money, prosperity, opportunities. When I've seen in the past, I mean, I've been in my business a little over 10 years. When I see fear crop up, fear, it like shuts down the magnetic energy. So, you know, and it's okay. Fear is going to come up. It's like, how do you hold it, handle it, be with it? What's helped me the most and what I've seen is just, it's really what you're talking about. I think that you go to your why, as Simon Sinek did his whole TED talk on the why, on your purpose. For me, the wording, I, and this is just going to get more spiritual, which I'm sure you're fine with, but you know, I say the universe, the divine, God is my employer. I am literally here to do that work of service. So God is my employer. The divine is my employer. The money I make comes from this infinite, abundant universe, this divine intelligence. Yeah. And it's not for me to hoard. It's not for me to bloat or gloat about. It's about me saying, it's about anyone listening, I think, saying, where am I needed and where does that intersect with what I can do and what do I love and where can I help people? What would you do for free in the middle of the night? Like these questions, these deeper ways of looking at it, I just think that adding value, being of service, helping others' purpose, if that's at the center, you will never have an issue financially. I mean, that's what I've seen. And the more, I mean, I know it's vague to say that and there's strategies and things, okay, maybe, but I do think it starts with being on fire about what you're doing and why, and then you start to share about it. And when it's from that authentic place, I mean, I all I know is I've seen my business grow pretty extensively and I had no background and it didn't matter. And I've taken so many courses and classes now and nothing compares to that spiritual alignment, that energy alignment with, why are you doing this? And by the way, when you make more money, you can make a bigger impact. Because when you're making a bigger impact, you're usually making more money. So when I I want to be of service to millions. Okay. Well, who do I have to be? Who do you have to be of service to millions, not hundreds, not thousands, right? I want to be of service to as many, maybe millions is too small. I mean, goodness, we have billions on this planet. So there is a capacity piece. There's a belief system there, but I think you can't go wrong when you say, all right, ego, you're not even part of this. I really want to help and I want to make an impact with the universe. And that's where I'm standing. You go there, watch what happens, watch the doors that open. I know it. I've seen it. I track it.
Oh my God. I love that. And it makes me think of, like one of the simple things I used to always teach my corporate clients when they were afraid of, or not afraid of, but really uncomfortable with public speaking. And I have like this one simple rule, and it all comes down to focus. Are you focusing on you? Or are you focusing on the audience? Because if you're focusing on the audience, the nerves disappear. If you're focusing on you, then you're going to be a nervous speaker. And I think it's exactly the same with business. Like, especially in the beginning, we're so busy focusing on ourselves that that's actually the thing that's holding us back. You know, we're spending way too much time looking at ourselves in the mirror and going, oh, well, this is broken and that's buggered and, oh, that's why I don't have any money. Instead of what you're talking about, and I know for me, my greatest buzz has always been my clients, you know, my community, the breakthroughs that they have. Like, that's always been the thing that's my, you know, almost resident frequency. It's always about that. And I too believe that that's one of the real keys to creating wealth, is that you're not attached to it. You're not constantly thinking about it. You're actually more attached to the things that make you feel wealthy. And I know for me, as you were saying as well, it's very similar, that for me, I feel wealthy when I help a lot of people. Like, that for me feels like wealth.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. We're so, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love what you're saying. And I really, really, I resonate with that and everything you're saying. And I think that switch to it's not about you, that has helped me as well massively. And I've seen this help others when you're nervous to speak in front of others or to post something. Do not come from, I've got to have it all look all together. It's understandable. We want to look good as human beings. I get it. But come from, wait a minute, you know what? This actually could help somebody. Like, I know what it's like to be in a really shitty, dark spot. I do not want others to be there. And I know that this work can help. So I'm going to share it from that way. And whoever's meant to get attracted to it will. And those who don't, won't. And we're not for everybody. It's not meant to be. I'm not meant to be for everybody. We're not meant to be. I had to learn that a while back. And that unattachment piece that you said too, Emma, I think, you know, and it can take time. It can be, you put your heart into it. You're, you know, you want to help, but, and just getting that. And that's what helps me when I'm like, you know, this is getting sorted at a higher level that is beyond my pay grade and the way my mind works. Like, there is a universal intelligence that is going to help to just connect me with who I'm meant to serve. And it never fails, Yeah. When I go that direction.
Yeah. I love that. It's funny. I was watching Gaia yesterday. And the channeler who was channeling some interstellar being, I don't know, I can't remember. You know, she was talking about, again, frequency is everything, you know, and we have so many entrepreneurs and coaches out there that are like, well, I've just started studying and I want to have a $10,000 week or a $10,000 month. And unless you're at that frequency, you know, like, it's something that I'm so conscious of all the time. Like, what would it feel like to be whatever the next step up is? What would it feel like to be whatever the next step up is? Because that's the way we succeed. That's the way we help our clients. That's the way we, you know, call in great relationships or heal ones that maybe aren't so great. It's all about understanding that everything comes from our frequency. And we have to make choices about that frequency every day. And as coaches, we talk about belief systems and blocks and all these things, like a very practical how-to. But at the end of the day, that's what we're talking about.
100%. And I think the other piece to that is, you know, what I'm hearing just intuitively is like, take worthiness off the table. There's no such thing as not being worthy of receiving or making money, or it's bullshit. It's not true.
Exactly.
We all need to hear that. You're yeah. worthy. We're all worthy. There is nothing, you know, that should just put it, throw that away, put it on the shelf. Don't even, that shouldn't even come into it. You know, the truth is we're all part of the same, you know, divine, intelligent universe. I mean, if you really think about it, anyone listening, you and me, we're all related. We are all literally related. And so why would it be one person over the other? Makes zero sense. That's not a sense of oneness. And so that I see coming up a lot. And I know for me, in the beginning, it was kind of like, I didn't know what I was doing, but I think it was almost ignorance is bliss. I just was like, I have to do this work and help people. I don't care. You know, but that worthiness, that just because you haven't done it before, we live in literally an infinite, like a universe that is just completely, completely all about that giving and loving and high vibration. So yeah, there's a bit of getting into that frequency match. I mean, to receive at that level, I've just seen that with myself. That's why there's a lot of practices and things I do, not to be crazy about it, but just to watch and observe my frequency, because we kind of attract what we're a match for is really yeah. the best we are.
It's absolutely. Absolutely. And I love this worthiness topic as well. And something that you said that I thought was really powerful was, you know, in the beginning, you were just like, oh my God, I just love this work so much. I'm just going to do it. And I was exactly the same, you know. If we sat in a class and we talked about wealth and money or whatever, and we talked about belief systems, I could tell you all the reasons why I wasn't worthy. But that almost never occurred to me when I was actually doing the coaching work, because I just loved that I could turn up, share some information, ask some cool questions, and shit in their life would change. And I was like, oh my God, this is so good. And that was where I invested so much energy. And, you know, I used to say all the time, and I say used to because now I feel like I need to use a slightly different metaphor, but I've always said to myself and my clients that you're worthy because you're breathing. You know, like that's where your worth comes from, the fact that you're here, the fact that you're doing yeah. it. But it's almost like you're worthy because you're vibrating, you know, like it's even beyond this lifetime. Like we are all worthy to have our dreams come true. All of us, all of us. There is no, and if you're yeah. investing in stories of why you're not, then that's the issue, you know, because yes. that's where you're investing your energy. That's where you're investing your belief systems. You know, you can just pop them on the shelf and cross them as they come up, you know? And I think that's a lot of what I learned over the years. Instead of trying to almost be proactive about my mindset and go, well, I need to really break this down, I did flip it. You know, the way I create my reality is that I dream big first. I am a Piscean as well, but I dream big first. And then I'm like, okay, I dream big. I get into the frequency of it. And then as the things come up, so maybe it starts with my mind going, don't be ridiculous. You couldn't blah, blah. Then I'm going to deal with that. Or maybe I'm halfway down the path and things are already starting to manifest and then fear comes in. Then I'll deal with it then. You know, I'm not going to try and hunt everything out as if to say, well, I need to clean everything up before I start. And that to me, that's another way that we really hold ourselves back. Like you're exactly where you need to be and you have everything you need to be extraordinary now. So just keep going on the path. You know, I get a lot of early coaches saying, oh my God, I don't know enough. And one of the things I was taught really young was like, or at the beginning of my coaching training journey was our mentors were always like, as long as you're 2 weeks ahead of your client, you're good. You know, you're good. So it's yeah. like, as long as you continue to grow, as long as you've got something that they don't have, especially in the beginning, just keep going. And then of course the gap gets wider and wider and wider over time. But it's like having that willingness just to go, well, you know what? One of the things that I used a lot was the core needs. So human need psychology, which is Tony Robbins. And I would just wheel it out all the time because it had big impact. But it would be the same thing. My client didn't know what it was. I would introduce it to them. It would change their life. Simple, easy, great. And then over time, there would be more and more layers to that. But yeah, I think we really just need to be willing to get out there, take imperfect action, share what we do have, and then keep growing. As you said earlier, like just keep growing and doing your own work over yeah. the journey.
Yeah, 100%. It's one thing I'm realizing, I for some reason felt the need to go into yoga teacher training. I mean, I used to teach fitness and just for fun on the side. And I think the ancient, you know, 2,500, 5,000 years ago wisdom of, you know, yoga, the sutras, all it's like, it's what we're talking about today. It's like, hasn't changed, but I think there's a part of humanity that's like, you know, just we need to hear it over and over again in different ways. And that is, you know, that we are infinite potentiality. We're connected to we're made of the moon and stars, without getting all like, you know, ethereal and trite about it, but literally, that getting the possibility that is here for each of us is, that's everything. And if you are not able to do that, that is something to look at, like you said, you know, earlier. And mm-hmm. I think one of the things for me, you know, what I love about this work is both with coaching and I'd say with human design is it is such an empowering modality because it's taking on that the person, whoever you're working with, is the expert of themselves. I'm never going to be the expert in anybody else. I am just barely the expert of myself. We're just getting there. And so it isn't even about, I don't need to know what's right for you. I just know what I do need to know is how to hold space and ask you questions and listen and hear and say, hey, I'm hearing this, or what about that? Or I'm curious, have you ever looked at it this way? Or what if we tried this? Okay. There's an expertise that way, but not in you. You're the expert of you. And as coaches, we're not experts of other people. That's, you know, I always get worried when someone thinks they're the expert like that. I'm like, run the other way, because that's disempowering. And we all have that intuition and that inner expertise and inner knowing in ourselves. It may have to be, you know, excavated a little bit, but it's just powerful work. And the whole potentiality, I feel like I'm a potentiality junkie. Like the idea. Same. Yeah. Like I just, oh my gosh, what's possible? I mean, I don't know. I think I will say this, it's a little vulnerable, but I love my father. So grateful for him. He is very loving. He struggled with PTSD and depression. He was over here, a Vietnam veteran, and really, really, really struggled financially and also with his beliefs, and still does. And I think it kind of motivated me, Emma, to just like, you know, he's in his 80s and he's doing okay, but like, I just was like, I don't want to get to that place and feel like I kind of missed out on what the acorn inside of me, it makes me want to cry, is going to be, could be.
Yeah.
So I don't know, for all of us, it's like, I want to get to whenever, hopefully the end is in a long time, you know, where it's just a, wow, I really, really, really got to, you know, really be not just used up, but like make a difference and grow. And that moves me and motivates me so much.
Oh my goodness. I feel like we're the same human. I could not agree more. And it's so interesting because it was so much of me watching my dad, from a very different perspective. Like he was very successful in the advertising industry. And, by the time I was a teenager and he was like, he started in London, he's Australian, but he went to London, started in London, and they shipped him back out to Sydney to open, and lead one of the still to this day leading ad agencies. Then he was moved down to Melbourne, still leading, and doing really great. And by the time I got to my early teens, he'd really taken his foot off the accelerator. And I remember saying to him, you know, like, why would you do that? Like, why wouldn't you just like go for the stars, see what is possible, all of these things. And, you know, like I just knew that it was like, oh, I just can't be bothered, or it's not ever going to happen for me, or all of these things. And ultimately, to be honest, he would say to me, look, honestly, Emma, I have everything I need. I have you. I have my family. I don't need or want for anything more. But I do wonder, especially now after he's crossed over, obviously he actually is quite a significant player in my life now. Mm. And it's fascinating because it's always about making dreams come true with him now. It's always about that striving piece, about that potentiality. Because honestly, I think that's what we're all here for now. We're all here to stop playing this small game we've been conditioned to play and play a really epic one. And whatever that may be, it doesn't have to be, you know, it's all about breaking the rules, breaking the old molds, breaking all the past and creating something new. So anyway, that's my rant.
No, it's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And I think I just had this thought too, you know, if you think about it, like from a larger stance, that if, you know, we are each this divine expression, the expression of the universe itself, why would it not want to expand as big as possible? It almost doesn't, it's like, don't get stuck in the human thought of who you are as just human. Like, don't forget, we are way more than just, you know, the brain, the mind, or humanity. There's like literally a divinity in us that is in each of us, ourselves, that vibration, that energy. So it's like, yeah, let's see. I mean, why wouldn't that want to expand? And I think it's really beautiful that he's with you and guiding you, and just that, I can just feel that's powerful. And sometimes there are teachers in different ways.
Yeah, I definitely feel like both, because both my mom crossed over last year as well.
Sorry.
So, and I'm an only child, and I'm going through a separation of my marriage. So I'm like, woof, I'm really feeling that just me at the moment, but that's fine. I have two amazing children and an incredible family that I've created with friends and all that sort of thing. And of course, my family will still be a family. But yeah, I'm definitely feeling that at the moment. So I am very conscious of your time, and I know there's a lot of people out there who listen to this podcast that are either on the path to becoming or dreaming of becoming a coach, and they always ask me about certification programs, and you actually have one. So do you want to share that with my audience?
Yeah, I know. Thanks for asking. I'm in love with this program. It's such a special program. It's called the Life Designer Coach Academy. It's a certification program. I love this title, Life Designer, because I think what we're really doing is learning to help people design and help others design their life, the interior and the exterior, both of them. And it's a beautiful, powerful, integrative 4-month program. I teach it live virtually. I've had students from all over the world. We meet twice a week. We do everything from there. Everything is recorded. So it's very well paced. I have a ton. So I actually get about 40% are usually coaches that feel like they're either missing kind of some of the framework. They want to refine their skills. They want more of the intuitive piece. So 40% or so are coaches that want to add on to what they've already learned. And then I have a range of healers, single moms, lawyers, CPAs, Reiki people, healer, you know, masters, therapists, like everyone and anyone. It's real. I wouldn't say everyone and anyone, but people that I think really feel this calling to help others in a very significant way. And I've mentor coaches. There's a practicum. There's a final. I mean, it's a really powerful program. And I would just say these skills are transferable, whether or not you decide to do this on the side or full, or just you really want to be better at with your teams or your company or your family or parenting. I mean, the skills are completely transferable and will help you as a person.
Amazing. Oh my goodness. I think one of my, you know, I'm grateful for everything in my life, but I am so grateful for getting my Master Coach certification. Like, I actually look back on it now, and I don't know what I loved more, the actual learning or the people that I got to learn with. You know, it was such a beautiful journey, because of course, as you're going through these processes and you're learning and you're becoming a coach, you're doing all your work with these people. So they become these really deep and close friends, because you're literally sharing everything with them and going through this great healing. So yeah, I feel like coach training is a really beautiful, nurturing adventure that you can enjoy individually and then go out and serve the planet. So we're going to put all the details, we'll put a link, everything in the show notes so people can find it. What else would you like to, can you tell my listeners where they can find you on social media and website and, of course, your Youest You podcast?
Yeah, which was so fun because you were on there and loved sharing you. The best thing, my website is julieriesler.com/certification if you want to read about that. Instagram, YouTube, if you look up just Julie Riesler, I have a ton of my podcasts and videos on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. If you just put my name with the R-E-I-S-L-E-R, people spell it funky, but if you look it up, you will find me. I'm also, for anyone who loves to meditate, I have a ton of free meditations on Insight Timer and courses and things up there. Much of it is free. So if you just put my name and reach out, like I really love people. I love connecting. I trust if someone is supposed to be in the world with me and I'm supposed to be on the journey with them, that happens. And if you just want to say hi or talk about coaching or just talk about what that looks like, I love, love, love meeting new people. It's one of my favorite things. I think probably like you, first of all, being a 3/5 MG, I'm like,
yeah, exactly right.
I'm a Sagittarius. Like, I'm like, bring on the people, as many people. I love people. So, yeah. And thank you. I love this conversation. I love the work you're doing. I feel like it's just, it's like PB&J. Like, they just go so beautifully together. And that's how I feel talking to you. And I love PB&J.
Oh my God. So do I. So I eat peanut butter and honey. So Australia, we do peanut butter and honey.
Oh, that's way better.
But you know, PB&J, I'll take it as well. It's still Woo! Good. It's still good.
PB and honey is like the next level. That is actually delicious. I've had that. Delicious.
Oh my God. It's so good. And you know what? If you want to take it to the healthy realm,
yeah,
you get rid of the bread, you stir the honey and the peanut butter together, and you get sticks of celery. And you scoop it and eat it on celery. It is divine. It's so good.
That is my snack tomorrow. Oh my God. Yum.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Julie. It's been so much fun talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Like, thank you for the work you're doing, the light that you are. Just, you're so big-hearted. It's so obvious. So it's just, I can always tell by my energy. I feel so enlivened and more awake than before. It's really just wonderful to connect with you and your beautiful listeners.
Wow. Thank you so much. And for all of those beautiful listeners out there, I trust you got what you needed from today's episode. And I look forward to having you on the next one. Bye for now. Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.